Athletes may be the heroes in Athens, but in New York, for one writer, architecture provides the drama of everyday life. Between the Hudson and East Rivers of Manhattan lie some of the world's most famous buildings, the Empire State Building, the Flatiron, the Chrysler Building. Against this man-made landscape, writer Nicholas Rinaldi imagines a novel whose characters are profoundly affected by the apartment buildings they live in. From New York, John Kalish has the story.
In Between Two Rivers, author Nicholas Rinaldi has assembled a large group of characters, including a German World War II pilot, the widow of a famous entomologist, a wealthy plastic surgeon, a famous quilter, and a terminally ill frozen foods mogul. They all pass through the lobby where Pharaoh Fescue presides. Fescue is no mere doorman. He's the proud concierge of Echo Terrace.
Pharaoh Fescue sits alone, quietly expectant in a slow and ripening silence. He feels the pulse, the heartbeat, as if the building were a living, breathing thing, as if there are wires running from his fingertips to every room on every floor, a web of wires connecting him to the doors, the balconies, the closets, the breakfast nooks.
When a famous fashion designer who lives in Echo Terrace starts bringing his drug dealer friends around, the all-knowing concierge views it as a cancer of sorts. Rinaldi says he didn't intend to animate the apartment building, but it's clear that the condominium comes across as if it's another character.
There is a personality there. Certainly, Pharaoh Fescue, the concierge, is the one who most definitely is in touch with that personality. He's guarding it. He's the custodian. He's protecting it. He knows that personality can change, and he worries about that.
It seems to me that novelists always respond to what's going on in architecture in some way.
Marilyn Chandler McIntyre is an English professor at Westmount College in Santa Barbara, California. She says Rinaldi is part of a long line of novelists who use buildings as a device to define characters. It's a tradition whose practitioners include Edith Wharton and Henry James.
Portrait of a Lady, for instance, is a wonderful example of a novel where we get to know different characters by means of the houses they dwell in. If you look at the beginning of Age of Innocence, each of the opening chapters after the first is an introduction to a house before the characters are introduced. So, in a sense, you get to know the characters by means of their houses.
In his novel Between Two Rivers, Rinaldi illuminates characters by the way they alter their apartments. In the case of Nora, the entomologist's widow, it's indicative of her mental deterioration. With Dr. Tatterfrooge, it reflects his fixation with control, and for quilter Maggie Soule, it's a measure of how obsessed she is with her art.
We see all these characters doing their best to transform their environment, Nora trying to convert it, her apartment, into a jungle. Tatterfrooge has transformed it almost into an orchestral hall. We're playing Vivaldi. You know, as soon as he opens the door, electronically, it comes on. And Maggie has transformed hers into a workshop where she's putting her patch quilts together.
Like the condo dwellers, the cleaning crew in Echo Terrace suffers from a variety of physical and psychological maladies. One is brutally raped, another has a learning disability, and a third is plagued by his reputation as a con artist. The metaphor for all these fractured lives is a large and growing crack discovered in the basement by the concierge Pharaoh Fescue.
Pharaoh Fescue led them past the boiler room, past the electrical supply and the emergency generator and the storage room, and unlocking a wide steel door, he brought them into the big unused area where the cement walls and floor were painted an unpleasant shade of gray. And there, on one wall and across the floor, as obvious as a shootout in a Western, was the crack that Pharaoh Fescue had been monitoring for almost a year. It was longer and wider than ever.
The wall is repaired and then cracks again, but concerns about the condominium's frailty are overshadowed by a greater tragedy. It's September 11th, and a couple of blocks away, the Twin Towers are struck by two hijacked planes. The story ends with concierge Pharaoh Fescue standing alone outside Echo Terrace.
His journey is to be finally with that building, as he is in the end, you know, guarding it and refusing to leave when even the police are coming and saying, you know, you have to leave, it's dangerous here now. And he stays with it. That's that journey of dedication.
As for the residents, everyone in this story was on a journey before September 11th. In the aftermath, Rinaldi sets his characters adrift. He saves some, dooms others, and leaves the fate of some a mystery. Echo Terrace, the building, is unchanged. For NPR News, I'm John Kalish in New York.